good to think about sometime, you know. We all have trials and tribulations that we'll all go through sometime in our life. Maybe some of these little ones haven't had them yet, but they think they have. One of these days, I get to go home and be with Jesus. And I know that. If you've been saved, truly saved with the grace of God, you know that. So I want to remind us this morning that we all have that have been saved by God's grace. He's with us. He lives and reigns within our hearts and our souls. It's no time to back off of who and what we are. I can't reiterate that enough in my ministry and the places that I go, that to remind God's people, you need to be who you are. We sang this song this morning, Rachel did. She led it, Soul Winner from Jesus. From the day the Lord saved my soul, and I know it's probably true with most of you, you had a desire for someone to be saved, did you not? Amen. I remember coming up off the mourner's bench, and the first people that came to my mind and my heart were my mom and my dad. I said, I want them to know what I know in my heart and my soul. I want them to understand this God that I've just come to realize is real and is truthful and has changed my life. They came to my mind and my heart immediately as they began to sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was thankful, my friends. I was so grateful that he put that burden in my heart. And I know we all have that if we've truly been saved in the grace of God. If you don't have burdens for the lost and dying in this world, then something is very wrong with what you have. And I would say make your calling and election sure, as Scripture says. Find yourself an altar and get it straight with God. What's even worse, I think, are those that just live seemingly a Christian life, and they go on about their business, and they talk about prayer, and they talk about God, and they don't know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. They've never truly been born again by the Spirit of God. I was reading one time in the Fox's Book of Martyrs, Martyr's Mirror, similar to it, an account that always stuck out in my mind. And this was during the Inquisition times when over 60 million Christian people were killed for their faith. Because they wouldn't deny Jesus Christ. Because they wouldn't back down from the belief about the Son of God in their heart and their souls. He was discovered and he began to run. It was winter time and he was running across a frozen lake. And the armies, my friend, were following him. They were going to catch him. And he knew exactly what was going to happen to him. If they caught him, he was going to die because of his faith. Because he wasn't going to denounce Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And as he was escaping and he was going to make it, the ice broke. And several of my friend of those early pursuers fell into the icy lake. You know what that guy did? According to the account in the book, he stopped. He turned around and he saw these men who were drowning in the icy water. And he knew what he needed to do. He knew probably those men were not right with God. They knew, he knew within himself that if they died in that lake that day, my friend, hell would be their home because they weren't saved. And so what did he do? He turned around and he pulled those men from the lake and he was captured. And you know what eventually happened to him? He was burnt at the stake. So what makes an individual be able to do that? I hope that if my faith is ever attacked in such a manner, in such a way, that God would give me the grace to be able to stand up and say, I love Jesus. I love the Son of God, the Savior of my life and my heart and my soul, the one that has got control of my life. But a lot of problem is we don't let God have control, do we? We kind of leave him standing there. That man and many more like him, history tells us, gave their lives. It gets gruesome when you read those books. There were those who were staked and burnt alive, and as the flesh melted, I'm being gross, I know, but as the flesh melted off their body, they were singing praises to God. What makes a man or a woman be able to do that? It's the saving grace of Jesus Christ is what it is. It was the same for them as it is for us today. Though we don't face those kind of things in the life that we live, maybe someday, who knows? I have no idea. All I know is that I got a job to do for the Lord. And I want to be about that Lord's business today. So you pray for me. I do really want to encourage you and hopefully and prayerfully get to where you can and just be what you need to be for the Lord. You know, when you walk out of here today thinking, I got things to do for God. I got places to go for the Lord. I got things I need to let go and let God do in my life. There's a verse of Scripture that I want to base my thoughts and my sermon on today, and it's found in the book of Revelations, in the 3rd chapter, in the 20th verse. It's amazing how the Word of God is so open sometimes. And my friend, that's because the Spirit makes it alive. It's not a dead word. The Word of God is here for our profit. It is here for our growth. It is here that we have a roadmap, my friend. Many times I've heard people say, well, I just want to wait until my heart is beating out of my chest. Well, what did the Word of God say to do? He's already said it. He said nothing about your heart beating out of your chest. I know I get those feelings too. Especially in my early days of my Christian walk with the Lord, he'd do that. He would encourage me and let me know that he was there, but he's not left me. Hopefully I've grown and I've matured and I can take the Word of God, and if it says, go ye therefore into all the world, preach and teach, that's what we'll do. That's our mandate. That's our calling, is it not? It didn't say, well, if the world changes, if the government changes, if the president changes, if your circumstances change, you do differently. No, it says just go and do. Be the soul winner. Be the one that will stand up for Jesus when nobody else will. Revelation 3:20. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Just one verse today to start things off. Behold, Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. And I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and he will sup with me and he with me. And I will sup with him and he with me. Now, I've entitled my message today, if I can, Christ is near, but outside. Christ is near, but outside. And hopefully the message will be self-explanatory as we go along, my friend, because in this verse, there's so much that is said here by Christ. And he says, I am a present Savior. He is always with us, is he not? He never is far from any one of us, my friend. If truth be known, he's sitting right beside you right now. You might deny that. You might not be in a place where you can feel that and understand that. And my friend, even if you're lost, God is there. He is willing. He is wanting. He's a present God. He's not far off. Don't say until the Lord comes. He's here. And yes, he's physically coming one day to gather the church home to be with him in glory and all those that have been redeemed by the grace of God. But my friend, he is present. Don't deny it. He's present. Book of Luke, Jesus said in the 12th chapter in the 36th verse, that verse that I just read to open up with 3:20, it said, at the door. Jesus said, I stand at the door. It's a picture, it's a type of being him being present in our life. He's standing at the door. He is there, just waiting. He's near. He's not a God of the far off. That's what I love about Jesus. From the day he saved my soul, he's been present. He's been right there. I could reach out to him at any time, and he was there. Luke, the 12th chapter, 36th verse, as far as a present God. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make of them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them.
And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would have come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. But ye therefore, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. So Jesus said right here, again, to prove, and as a text, to prove my text, that he is there. He's standing at the door. He said, and when he cometh and knocketh, my friend, he is there. I think, my friend, my feel, my heart, the Lord's always knocking. The opportunities are always there. We make excuses like we don't have opportunities. We can't do this or we can't do that. Wrong. Has God changed? Has the God, my friend, as I say so many times, the one that made everything, that threw out the stars, that made the trees, that made the animals, that breathed into man and made him a living soul, is his hand short? Is his power somehow been diminished? No, not at all. If anything, it's grown. In my estimation, in my lifetime of 40 some odd years of being saved by the grace of God, God is just seemingly more powerful in my life. Because, my friend, when I was first saved, I used to ask God for little things. But I want you to know, at 61 years old, I asked God for big things. And he said, just ask and ye shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. I am here for you and I want to lift you up. And all that I would ask of you, that you be the soul winner that I would have you to be. That you would be out here doing the work of the Lord. Don't forget, Friendship Church, who you are and what you are. You are a representative of Jesus Christ. Not just today, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, every day. Whether you're here, whether you're at your job, whether you're with your family, whether you're with friends, whether you're with complete strangers, you're still that ambassador. That's not changed. Christ is near, but outside. Our reading lesson tells us he's a waiting Savior. It said, behold, I stand. Trying to tell us something, isn't it? He's on the outside. He's standing. The psalmist said in the 24th Psalm, the 6th chapter, this is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted, lift up ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. Do you see a running theme? Do you see where I'm going, my friend? Christ is near, but on the outside? He's standing, he's waiting. The psalmist tells the psalmist to lift up those holy gates that he might come in. This verse in Revelation tells us also that he's a seeking Savior. I don't know about your God or your Savior. I know about mine. He came looking for me. I just get filled up when I think about that. The Savior, the Son of God, the perfect, my friend, the Alpha, the Omega, came looking for me. Me, of all people. 18 years old. You know my story, most of you. It's not pretty, but God came looking for me, as he does for you as well. Wow. He's a seeking God. Said he stands on the outside and he what? Hey, it's Jesus. He's knocking. He's seeking. Standing on the outside. Waiting patiently. Oh, I'm glad God's patient. Because if he wasn't, I don't deserve what I have. Some of you in your testimonies, you went years to find the Lord. I don't ever understand that, because when I truly knew it was the Lord, I went to God. I'm not saying that yours is wrong and mine's right. I just know that what I got is true and faithful, my friend. It works for me and it's my story. And as they say, I'm sticking with it. Because it's not going to change, and it's what's going to take me on into the portals of glory when one day after a while I'll be on those streets of gold. What a day that will be, brother. I get to worship him in spirit and in truth, but perfectly. That's what I like to remember, because I ain't perfect. Excuse the grammar. None of you are. None of us are. 22nd chapter, 17th verse of Revelation says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him heareth say, Come. Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the waters of life freely." And so our Savior is a seeking Savior, according to what we read in the 23rd chapter and the 20th verse. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and he will sup with him, and he with me." My friend, the Savior is waiting on you. What are you waiting for? Are you waiting for a better day? You're not going to get it. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time. Why would you put it off? Why would you make excuse? Because it's uncomfortable? Because you feel safer just being mixed up? Or you feel, I don't know. I didn't go through any of those kind of things. And I pity those of you that did that. Got saved and then didn't know if they got saved and got it figured out. I don't want to go through any of that. I know the Lord saved me. I hope I never doubt it. I doubt that I will, just because of the way it came and the age I was. I don't know. But I know the Spirit and bride say, "Come." He's a seeking Savior. He's knocking. You hear him? Listen now. Because he's knocking. And I'm talking to the saved and I'm talking to the lost today. Church, you're in a unique place, and you've been here before, but God's knocking at your heart. He wants to lead you, and he wants to guide you. He is standing outside. He is patiently waiting on you. What I love about God, he's a pleading Savior, if I say so myself, but Scripture says it for me. "If any man open the door," Jesus said, he's pleading. If you would but just open the door. I am near, but I'm outside. I'm near, but I'm outside. See, he didn't make robots. Why he made the plan of salvation the way he did, I don't have a clue. Why he leads and guides his people the way he does, I don't know. But I do know one thing. He wants us to be faithful, my friend, and follow him as the Lord leadeth and guideth in our lives. We need to walk with him. We need to talk with him. And we need to be about the Father's business, my friend. And it's lifting up Jesus Christ, giving him honor and him glory. Whatever that translates into your saved life, I know what it translates into your lost life. It means you need to get saved today. Not tomorrow. He's pleading. Matthew 11, chapter in the 28th through the 30th verse. Pleading God, isn't he not? "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Some of my favorite verses. Jesus, my Savior, said, "Just come to me, Jeff. I know your burdens. I know you're laden down with things in your life. I know you fight with sin every day in your life. I made you. I know everything about you. I know how imperfect you are. I know how weak you are. But in your weakness, I find strength." I'm glad God can use me. I don't want another life. At least today, I don't want another life. I want to be found serving Jesus Christ, the God of my soul. I want to be found telling others that they need to go to him and find him, because he is there. He is waiting. He's just knocking. He's pleading. If you just open the door. I'm near, but I'm outside. And you know he'll stay that way? As much as it grieves God, he would stay that way. But if you knock, if you knock and open that door, your life is going to be different. It's going to be totally changed. My friend, it's good. I'm telling you, it's good right now. I remember one day, and gosh, it's 30 years ago, I guess. I don't know. It was the day my dad was killed. We were on a construction job together, and he met his end, the construction accident, and I was there. I don't know how people make it when they lose somebody. I certainly don't know how they make it when they see something like that. I know how I made it. There was a great God in my heart and my soul and said, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And he helped me every step of the way. What are you relying on? Because I want you to know, Christ is near, but he's outside. I'm knocking. I'm pleading. That's what the Lord is telling you. That's what I want you to know. God, the Son of God, the only begotten, standing outside of your door. He's saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. To you that are saved, he says that every day to you. But what do we do sometimes? We just let him, we just keep him outside, don't we? You know you do. Just say amen, every one of you, because you know you do. I know I do from time to time. I get going so busy in my day that I usually try in my week way before my feet hit the ground and I'm still kind of groggy. And I said, Lord, help me find my way today. But sometimes I just get up and I got so much going on in my mind and my heart, I leave him outside. And that's not where he needs to be. That's not where he wants to be. He wants to be right front and center of your day. If any man open up. Isaiah said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. That's good stuff. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts more than yours. He's pleading. From the Old Testament to the New, come unto me. I'm here. I'm standing on the outside. I'm so near. He's so near, each and every one of us. When you got things going on in your life as a child of God, my friend, you need to keep that door open. I'm telling you, it's so much easier when you just let him in and do what God wants. It may seem difficult. It may seem as you don't want to do it, but it'll be the best thing you've ever decided to do in your life. Follow Jesus. You followed him one time. I know you did when you got saved by his grace. Now listen to that still small voice now and do what he says for you to do. I don't know what that is in your life. I don't know what the plan God has for your life, but I know what. He's got one for you. Every single individual in this room, God has got a plan for you, just as God has a plan for our country. Lose not hope. Let's let Jesus in. He's knocking. He's near. He's pleading. He wants in. This verse also tells us he's a promising Savior. He promises things, doesn't he? In this verse he says, I will come in. Not maybe. He didn't say, nah. Tomorrow, the next day. He says, you open, I'll come in. That's a promise from God. God's promises do not fail. He's near. He's near every one of us. He's knocking. He's pleading. He's wanting us, my friend, to do something in our lives. He's wanting you to open the door. That's the simple message for me today. He's there. He's on the outside, but he's so near. Whether you're saved or whether you're lost, whether you're at the point of conviction in your life, one day these little ones are going to get to that point where they're going to need Jesus. And they're going to have to do the same thing that you need to do each and every day that you've been saved. Open the door. Every morning when you get up, open the door. Let him in. He's pleading. He's still wanting to be in your life, wanting to lead and guide you. And the sooner that we learn those things, we'll learn that he comes in. Isaiah said in the 47th chapter in the 17th and 18th verses, when the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them, and I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open the rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys, and I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land spring water. It's a picture. It's a picture of what God can do in your life. And I know it to be true. Trust me this morning. I am, God hopefully will use me as his mouthpiece this morning. I don't know who this message is for other than all of us, my friend, because I think it has application to every single one of our lives, whether we're saved or whether we're lost. God wants to come in. He wants you to open the door. That's the way he's made it. You've got to open the door. He's not coming in on his own. He's not going to save you unless you want it. He's not even going to lead and guide you, and you can reject him all you want to the point that he even takes you out of this world. That's what thus saith the word of God. How miserable do you want your life? I'm telling you, if you're really truly a child of God and you've taken another road not letting God in, my friend, you've got a miserable life. A miserable life. And I do pray that it gets worse. That's compassion for you, right? No, it's because I love you. I want you to be provided by our Savior, because that's what our verse says. He's a provider. What did it say? And I and sup with him, and he with me. It's a picture of him providing. I've not gone much in my life without anything. I should rephrase that. I've never gone without anything that I needed. Now, have I gone with some things that I think I needed? Yeah. But never has God ever let me down. I can look back and I can see the things that he's done the last 40 some odd years of my life, and it's wonder. It's a wonder to me. I can see and look back on all my failures and the times that I did listen to him, the times that I did open the door. I'm telling you, those are sweeter. And that's where I want to be. I want to keep growing in this thing called salvation, this sanctification process. I want it to get refined. I want it. I pray that we want it to get better and better and better, and that it's easier and easier and easier to open the door to the outside where Jesus is. He just wants in. He just wants in your life. He's near. He's pleading. And he's a provider. The psalmist said in the 34th Psalm, the poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth around them that fear him and delivered them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want anything good. He provides, my friend. So what are you needing in your life? Open the door. Open the door and you'll get what God wants to give you. And that's what you really need. I don't know what it is. I don't know what you're needing. He said, ask. Revelations again, 7th chapter. Knowing that God is a provider. 14th verse. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water. And God shall wipe away the tears from their eyes. He's near, but he's on the outside. He wants to come in. I don't know the hearts of anyone here today, but maybe you need to pray. I don't know. There's a place up here to conveniently do that. It's where I found Jesus, on an old bench turned around backwards. Wasn't no virtue in that little black stained bench, but it's sure sweet to me. I don't even know where it is. Probably doesn't exist anymore, but it does in my heart and my soul. But you know what I always tell people and try to remind the church of the true and living God? You know what altar calls were for most of the time? You know why God's people met together one with another and gathered around? It was for you. It was for us to come together, to be of one mind and one accord, to ask Jesus into our lives, not to be saved again, my friend, but to lead us and to guide us and to get us where we need to be for the day. I have no idea how long the world will last, how long after you walk out these doors before you're called home. Don't you want to let Jesus in? Don't you want to be saved? Let's have a song. If you're here today and you're in need of prayer for some reason in your life, I don't need to know what it is. You want to share that? That's fine. I'll tell you this, God already knows. He's standing at the door. He says, if you but open up, I'll come in. I'll sup with you, I'll lead you, I'll guide you. The promises of God are sure. Those are promises of the Lord. They're of his character. They speak of whom he is, my friend. The King of kings and the Lord of lords. Open up, let him in. He's near to every one of us. If you need to pray, come pray. If you need to seek the Lord, come seek the Lord. I'll pray with you, and I'm sure there's others that would too.
Page 142.
Open the door to him. He's knocking. He's close. Always is. Closed for a better time, because there isn't a better time. You waiting for someone to be with you? Only thing and the only one you need is Jesus. What's God telling you? He's knocking. Bring peace into your life, joy into your life.
and meek and lowly. Come and trust my might. Come, my yoke is easy and my burden's light.
Verse 4.
God talking to you? Because you can keep the door closed. You can walk out of here today with the door locked. Not let Jesus in. And it will be to your own detriment, by the way. You won't blame the church. You won't blame me. I've told you the best of my ability. Open the door. He's knocking. He's waiting. He's pleading. Hear me and be blessed. I am meek and lowly. Come and trust my mind. Come, my yoke is easy and my burden.
Amen. Amen. Good song, sister. Thank you so much. You might have something on your heart. If it doesn't come from the Lord, we don't need to hear it. that's just Jeff talking now, but that's probably Bible too. I bet you I could find something in there. But maybe you got a burden you want to share. Maybe you have something that you want to say about the message. Agree or disagree, it's, you know, the Lord's service. Follow your heart. Bless you, brother. It's good to know you're saved. Good to know. It's good to share it when the Lord leads and guides you. It's the best tool you have in your toolbox. You've heard me say that. I've been here a few times. You say, I don't have, I'm not a preacher. I'm not this. I'm not. Yeah. Are you saved? Tell the world. Anyone else? Anything on your heart? I want to say we're thankful for your song, brother, and your wife. And I'm sure they'd tell you come back anytime. I'll speak for them. That's all right. I feel that much at home. I could do that. And if you count yourself a visitor, we're glad that you're here. Thankful for you. And always thankful for the church. I think there's a few announcements to be made, but I want to make sure you're all done. No song, there's nothing on your heart. Bless him, Lord. bless him, Lord. God help us, Lord. Let's not go to the dumb ones that need me. I'm glad I opened the door one day. I am really glad. I'm glad every time I open the door. Someone else, something on your heart. Thank you for that song, brother. Hearts and minds are free. Announcements need to be made. We have this is my shot. As many of you know, that I always give deacons a hard time, right? You have a lazy deacon. Now you pick which one you want me to that be, but he made me come back. So I said, "Well, I can come for either one." He said, "Okay, both." So you're stuck with me next week too. So. Pray for me. If you want me to preach better, then you have to pray harder, as they say, right? It's on you. It's in the balls in your court. Anything else on your hearts?
I would like for people to look and get on the computer maybe today that we're thinking about benches and born again pews.
Sure. Absolutely.
The board again pew, but they are things up there in the lobby, or not lobby, but
kitchen. Whatever. It's where the food is sometimes. Usually when there's food over there, I usually stick around. Anything else? Lord bless. Good idea, sis. In just a little bit, all those who want to come up here and still social distance, you can. But we can assemble together and end with a united prayer. Any requests before that? Anything you need to do? If not, those that can and would like to come this way, and we'll end with that prayer. And after that, you're free to go and come back tonight at 5, right? 5. Not ask anybody to lead, just lead as pray as God would lead you. Gracious and most kind Heavenly Father, as we make our way up here together to pray one with another, asking you, Lord, to lead and guide this congregation. We love them. And, you know all things, and you know the direction that you'd have them to go in. Even now, Lord, it may be something they're not even thinking about. So, Lord, just open their hearts as they try to open their door to you. And I think that's what they are desiring to do, Heavenly Father, in the things that they have to do, calling Sunday school teachers, and just the whole business of the church is important. And it's important that they do it to the best of their ability by praying and seeking the guidance of the Lord. So
So, Lord, I pray that for each and every one, God, in this church, that your will can be done. God, help us, Lord. Doors open. Doors open. Come. Talk. Let me know. Strengthen our burdens. Thank you, Deacon. Love you. Got a good bunch here. Lord, just listen to him. Easier said than done.
What's your song, brother?